afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to the Toe Meets Lead podcast. I'm Logan. I'm here with Andrew and Nigel, and we're here with our week five predictions. So we've got a few big games coming up, especially in the top 10. Stanford, Washington to look forward to. We've got Louisville, Clemson, and a few other big games. But I think we're just going to roll into it. Let's start off with Stanford, Washington. Andrew, you kind of already talked about this one on our last cast. What are your thoughts going into here?
You know, it's interesting looking at it, the FBI matchup predictor, which, you know, for what it's worth, gives Washington a 60% chance to win this game. It's going to be interesting. I don't think Washington's really played anyone, so it's going to be one of their first big challenges for the young guys that they have on the offensive side of the ball. You know, I think it'll be really, if they can bottle up Christian McCaffrey enough, which, you know, UCLA kind of did, but then they let Brian Burns and the other guys make plays around him and beat them. You know, I think statistically Stanford's had a better defense, but, you know, they also, I don't know, I think Stanford wins it. Washington's a 3-point favorite, so it's about an even matchup at home. That's just because I have more faith in Stanford. I think they're older, they're more experienced, they played in some more big games, and I think that'll really kind of carry them to what's probably going to be a close game and probably not a very high-scoring game.
All right, Nigel.
No, I agree. I'm going to pick Stanford in this one. Just for me, I think Christian McCaffrey is going to make the whole difference. Jake Browning for the Huskies has looked transcendent compared to their first freshman year. He's made that leap that all quarterbacks seem to make between that first and second year. And I think Chris Peterson has got them, riding high. You know, they're a top 10 team. He has everything kind of working out. He showed that he's a very good coach and why they hired him away from Boise State. But I think Christian McCaffrey just makes too many plays. He always seems to just get behind the defense one too many times and scores and just can carry the team on his back. They have a pretty good quarterback who's settling in. I think Stanford's going to get the win here.
Okay. So honestly, if I was going off of experience and talent and all that, I would go with Stanford. I think the deal is both teams are coming off shaky wins last week. Stanford was a drive away from losing to UCLA, but they managed to keep their defense stayed strong. And Washington had to go to overtime to beat Arizona. I think Stanford, they've clearly got the better talent on offense in Christian McCaffrey, but Washington's no slouch. As Nigel was pointing out, their quarterback has developed well. I'm going with Washington. It's honestly, if I was unbiased, I would probably go with Stanford, but I'm picking Washington. I picked them at the beginning of the year. I think they are the most talented team in the conference, and this is the game where they're going to have to step up and prove it at home if they really want to set themselves apart in the Pac-12 as being one of the new top teams. All right, moving on. So Nigel, your favorite team, Tennessee, going between the hedges and UGA. Tennessee, of course, had that big 180-degree flip last week against UF after being down by 28-0 and then, scoring 38 unanswered points, something along those lines. UGA, on the other hand, just got an ass-whooping from Ole Miss. It's hard to describe it any other way. When you're a big program and you lose like that, you just kind of got to sit back and go, whoa, what happened? So Tennessee is one of those teams that keeps finding ways to win even though they really shouldn't, and UGA just has not looked good very much at all this season. Nigel, I'll start with you. Who do you have in this matchup?
For me, I think, you know, Chubbs, I don't think he was really hurt. I think they were being precautious with him in the previous game. I think he's going to come out, hopefully. As Andrew said, they've shown that they can really get the offense humming. If they can look back at some of that North Carolina tape and decide what kind of offense they're going to be, get those guys really involved very early, get some easy throws for Jake Eason, I think UGA can get this win. I think Tennessee's been playing too much with fire. I think Joshua Dobbs has just not looked like the same QB all year. He's been making way too many mistakes, throwing across his body, throwing into open to coverage. He just has not really just hasn't caught up with him and his team yet. I think that they can get – I think that this will be the game that comes back and bites them. I think that being in Athens will give the Dawgs just enough momentum to eke out a win here.
Are you saying this because you actually think UGA will win or just because you really want Tennessee to lose?
I plead the fifth.
Okay, Andrew, who do you got in this one?
I'm going to have to disagree with Nigel. I think Georgia's just got too many questions, especially on the offensive line. They're going to play another pretty talented defense in Tennessee. You know, Tennessee started humming in the second half. The question to me is whether or not they can carry that over into this game. You know, they've got to travel to Athens, which is a rough place to play and will definitely help the Dawgs out. But, you know, if the Georgia can't get the running game going and you start to see, you know, the box stacked and try to force Jacob Eason to beat him, I just don't think he's there yet, especially with the Georgia wide receivers that have had issues with drops that really haven't been as helpful to a young quarterback as you would like them to be. And then the Georgia defense is young. They really got torched last week. You know, and Georgia's much like Tennessee. I think Georgia's been walking on thin ice too. You know, it took 5 turnovers for them to win the game against Missouri, who's kind of a middle of the road team. I think Tennessee wins it. I think it's a relatively close game because it's really hard to blow Georgia out in Athens. But I think Tennessee wins it, and I'm not sure if it's ever really in doubt, even if the score is close.
Yeah, knowing the fan bases and knowing the teams and what they've done this year, I can only expect this to be a very ugly game. I mean, honestly, I kind of want to side with Georgia because it's just hard to pick against Georgia at home. I mean, even with my bias, it's like the way Tennessee has performed going on the road to – actually on the road, by the way, whereas compared to a neutral site like they had at Virginia Tech, that's a different kind of environment. But Tennessee has found a way to pull out all their wins, even though they've been in many spots where they should not have won whatsoever. So I'm going to have to stick with Tennessee. Until they lose, I got to believe they're just going to keep rolling until they hit that game third weekend in October. That's when it's going to fall apart for them. But until then, I'm going to say Tennessee wins. All right. Next up, another top 10 matchup. Wisconsin going on the road to Michigan. Wisconsin has constantly proved themselves, despite, you know, everybody's beliefs coming into the season, that they are a top team. Michigan, on the other hand, kind of struggled against Colorado. They haven't played a lot of talent up until this game. This is going to be their first key matchup. They do get Wisconsin at home, so that's going to be a benefit. I think Michigan was the team that everybody was expecting, at least as a dark horse, to kind of come out and win the Big Ten. Andrew, do you see this as being an upset for Michigan?
You know, Michigan really hasn't played anyone. You know, Colorado is probably the best team on the schedule they've played, and we're still questioning whether or not Colorado's turned the corner. You know, I picked Wisconsin to have a very down year, so they've already proven me to be an idiot. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, they're breaking in the new quarterback in Hornibrook after having a quarterback issue. They want to run the ball. They haven't been able to run the ball, I think, as well as they'd like to. I Michigan's an 11-point favorite at home. I think Michigan wins it. I'm not sure if they cover that 11-point spread, though.
All right. I mean, to be fair, I mean, you're not an idiot. You're only picking at 58%, though, on the year, so that's could be a little better. You're still doing better than me and Nigel. We're only at 50. Nigel, improve your record. Do it.
I'm going to have to agree with Andrew on this one. I think it's going to be a slugfest. I think the difference is going to be the extra special players for Michigan. Corey Clemens, you know, Wisconsin likes to run the ball. He hasn't run the ball especially well this year. Yeah, the overall statistics are going to be there. The TDs are going to be there. But his average hasn't really been truly electric. Especially when you look at his career. So maybe he's still hampered by the injury bug from last year. You know, it takes a couple of months for you to really get yourself going, even when you're 100% as the doctors clear you. I think Michigan is just going to make enough plays to be in the mix, and it's at home for them. So I'm going to have to agree with Andrew. I also agree they won't cover 11 points. I think this is going to be a slugfest.
The Badgers won't care, but I'm also picking Michigan. I really want to pick the Badgers. I really want to believe. And maybe it's just their namesake. It's just I can't. After their struggle against Georgia State, you know, even at home, it's hard for me to gain confidence, even though they're beating teams, you know, like Michigan State and like LSU. Going on the road, this is a big game, and I don't see them pulling this out in front of that Big House fan base. Anyway, so we're all in agreement. Michigan is going to win. Watch Wisconsin come out and bite us in the ass for saying that one. All right, next up. Andrew, this is a game you've been highly invested in. You've been looking forward to it. The first Commander-in-Chief Trophy matchup, Navy going on the road to Air Force. Both these teams are undefeated. Correct me if I'm wrong. But this is going to be the first and the key matchup to see who will have to come out and top off Army. Andrew, I think you know more about these teams than I do, so I'll just turn it over to you.
Yeah, you know, the thing about it is the Commander-in-Chief Trophy recently has been absolutely dominated by Air Force and Navy. Army really hasn't had much of a fight in them. Now, this year's Army team is definitely, I think, one of the better ones that we've seen in a while. Both teams are undefeated, which is great. You know, and I think one of the big things is the Air Force has really gotten back to running the option. They kind of got away from it a couple years. You know, those of us in the option brotherhood kind of said, all right, Air Force, you're trying some really weird stuff. We're not comfortable with that. When you get back to running the option, come back and see us. But the past couple of years, Calhoun has really pushed them back into traditional option game and a lot of that. You know, I mean, they're averaging 359 yards a game on the ground. You know, their defense is playing really well. You know, I wanna say that my midshipmen do it, but I think this might be the year that the Zoomies of Air Force take back the Commander-in-Chief Trophy. I think they played a tougher schedule coming in. I think the win over Utah State was a big win, and I think Navy struggled recently with Connecticut and Tulane, and I think that's finally going to come to bite them. Air Force is a 7-point favorite, and I think, you know, much to my chagrin, I think the Zoomies are going to win this one.
All right, Nigel. Still there, Nigel? Okay, so I don't know if Nigel is still there or not, but I'm going to go ahead and make my pick. I'm going to say, is Toilolo still at Navy?
Kenny? Yeah, Kenny's there. Kenny will be there until he retires, unless someone hires him away.
Well, as long as he's there, and I know this is going to sound stupid probably from you who knows more of the history, but as long as he's there, I got to have faith the Navy's going to win this matchup. So I'm gonna put my bets with Navy, and we'll get Nigel's pick whenever he reconnects. But right now he is having technical difficulties. We're gonna move on right now. We're gonna wait for Nigel to get back so if we can talk about the Miami Georgia Tech game. So let's go to our personal games. Andrew, do you have a personal matchup picked out?
I do, and it's a game that's really interesting to me because last week Colorado knocked off Oregon for, I think, their first Pac-12 win in quite a while. You know, Colorado's really been on a huge rebuild, and Mike McIntyre has done a decent job, and so they picked up their first kind of signature win. This week they go to Oregon State, which in my mind is going to be kind of a, all right, is Colorado actually back and going to be a factor? Because Oregon State's not very good. We know they're not very good. We've seen that they're not very good. And if I think Colorado can go into Corvallis and dominate this game and win it big, I think it'll really push it into, all right, Colorado might be a player in the Pac-12. If it's a close game or if the Buffaloes find a way to lose it, then you're just going to see the Oregon game as a fluke and you'll be like, all right, well, maybe Colorado hasn't made these strides that people hope they make. I do think they win it. You know, and I think the score is really going to be the telling decision in that game.
Really, you're just, let's be honest, you're picking this to pad your record, huh? No.
No, I'm really not. And I mean, it's the second week in a row I've picked against Oregon State. So if we've got any Beavers that are listening, I'm sorry, guys. It's just, you know, you guys are in a rough place, and Gary Anderson's kind of ruining his decision to leave Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay, so apparently Nigel's power out is out. He's going to take Navy in the last matchup. We're going to see if he reconnects. Other than that, I'm going to wait for him to send me the rest of his picks. But anyway, going to my matchup, honestly, I was still kind of thinking it over. If I was just going to pull what you did last week, Andrew, and just pick an easy matchup. Like, hey, Alabama over Kentucky. Oh, man, I don't know. That could be potentially close. Let's see. I think... my Ohio Bobcats, going on the road to the most beautiful campus in the land, Miami, Ohio, I think they got a good chance of winning. Honestly, I just want to see them get some more wins because I know Ohio is better than a lot of people are giving them credit for. Right now, the line is only 2.5 in Ohio's favor, and I think they are going to win by more than that. So I'll take Ohio over Miami of Ohio. Not the U Blast Miami, just Miami of Ohio. So... Well, since we're going with the U-Blast, why don't we go ahead and talk about them? Miami's coming on the road to Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech suffered from a weird kind of beatdown/hang-in-there game against Clemson, whereas Miami is kind of showing off. Brad Kaya has got a lot of talent. He's leading that offense very well. They've got a good defense, if not a young defense. And they're going to be coming on the road to prove something, challenge for the ACC Coastal. Andrew, what are your thoughts on that matchup?
You know, I don't know a lot about Miami, to be honest with you. They haven't really played anyone outside of App State, and they blew App State out. I think that kind of showed us a bit. You know, yeah, I don't know a lot about this Miami team. Unfortunately, you know, Mark Richt, I believe, is 12-2 against the Yellow Jackets, so that's definitely not going to help. You know, Georgia Tech's big question, like we've talked about, is blocking on the perimeter. If Georgia Tech can block and get the run game going, then I think they've got a shot. If they whiff and have the same blocking issues they had against Clemson, I think that Kaya's going to be able to kind of pick the team apart. You know, Georgia Tech's defense has made strides, but they still have some issues getting pressure with the front four. I know Miami's playing young linebackers, which can hurt and help you depending on how you're teaching them to play and read the option. You know, my heart wants me to pick the Jackets because, you know, I've got that nice sheepskin diploma hanging on my wall. But I have a lot of trouble picking against Mark Richt playing the Yellow Jackets. He's had a great track record against him. I think it's a 7-point game. Miami's a 7-point favorite. I think it's probably a pretty close game, but unfortunately, I don't think the Yellow Jackets are going to be able to pull it out.
Yeah, Nigel is with you. I'm going to keep making this pick, even though I know it's going to hurt my record in the long run. But no guts, no glory, man. I think Georgia Tech's going to win. They're at home. They play very well. We saw last week that their defense is better than they're given credit for. And I think if the offense can pull itself together and really come out shooting guns blazing, then we got a real shot. Like you said, I am worried Mark Richt. I hate Mark Richt. Not like in a literal sense. I respect him, but I hate having to play against the guy. Why do you have to stay in the AC? Like, why do you have to stay in a team that we have to play every year? But regardless, I mean, I think this is going to be our best chance to beat him that we've had in a while. So I'm going to give us the benefit of the doubt and say we can take one against Miami. It'll be a close matchup, but it'll be a good matchup. All right, moving on. So, Nigel hasn't sent me his personal pick yet, but really quick, I was expecting to do a lightning round with you and Nigel, but since it's just you, I guess we can kind of stretch it out if you'd like. We've got a couple of games we expected to be important, which is not to say they're not important. I think we were just expecting both teams to be ranked. Oh, hey, Nigel, you're back. Do you want to talk about your personal game now that you've actually connected?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's just a quick power hit, which is all it takes to disconnect your internet, you know. Wait, what personal games are already picked so I don't pick them either?
I have Ohio over Miami of Ohio, and Andrew has Colorado over Oregon State.
Oh, cool. I am taking Kansas State over West Virginia.
Really? Well, you know, they're only West Virginia is only a three and a half point favorite. What do you see in Kansas State there?
I don't know. I just like Kansas State. I like their purple. I like their coach. I think Andrew's kind of got me on the side. Mike Holmgren is kind of not being well liked in West Virginia, and I think West Virginia's played pretty well. But I think Dana Holgerson. Why did I think? Who did I say?
Mike Holmgren, the former Packers coach back in the day.
Which is totally not the same guy. One is skinny, one is fat. Oh my god. No, all white people don't look alike.
One is severely addicted to Red Bull and casinos, and the other one's Mike Holmgren.
Lots and lots of cheese.
All right, fair enough. Okay. So I'm going to get back into it. We were going to start the lightning round without you, Nigel, but now we can get back into it as soon as you guys stop laughing yourselves to death.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Mike Holmgren, I love you. You're an awesome person.
Oh, don't say that. You don't know the guy. You could be a murderer.
You know I don't know the guy.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Let's see. So
back maybe they hang out on the weekends. You don't know his life.
Or maybe I hang out with him on the weekends. You don't know my life either. Bitch, you don't know my life.
This is also true.
All right, so back to what I was talking
about. Maybe Mike Holmgren secretly hangs out with both you and doesn't tell the other.
Oh, my God.
Or maybe we just found some random guy on the street who claims to be Mike Holmgren, and we just hang out with him on the weekends randomly. Who knows?
By the way, this is the conspiracy theory that Mike Holmgren knows both of us and doesn't tell the other person.
Okay, so there's your weekly conspiracy theory, everybody. All right, so can we talk about games now? Are we good? Okay.
Yeah, right. We're back.
So right, we're going to have a lightning round of games we expected to be more important in the sense that right now some of these teams, we were expecting them to be either higher ranked or at least have both the teams be ranked. But at this point in the year, maybe due to some unexpected losses or just due to what happens. These teams have kind of dropped lower than we expected. All right, so let's start off. Oregon at Washington State. Oregon lost last week against Nebraska. Or no, wait, they lost. They lost a couple of weeks ago against Nebraska. My bad. And they've kind of struggled.
They lost last week to Colorado.
They lost last week to Colorado. That's right. So they've lost against two teams, kind of struggled recently. And then Washington State started off their year with a couple of losses, one to Boise State and one to Eastern Washington, of all people. But hey, it's hard to go to the lava field and win a game. So, you know, it's hard to say how that plays out. All right, I'll turn it over to you, Andrew. Oregon at Washington State, who you got?
Quack, quack.
Fair enough. Run up the ball, run up the score. I do expecting a lot of scoring in this matchup. Nigel, who do you have?
That's Mr. Quack to you.
Okay, so two for the quack quacks.
Speaking of quack quack, did you see Oregon's uniforms this week?
Yeah, I did. It was the ducks. Like, it was orange.
Their goal was to look like ducks, and they did a very good job of looking like ducks.
But did they pull a truck? That is the question. I did see their mascot pull a truck, so that was kind of cool. Anyway, I'm picking Oregon, too. I've got no faith left in Washington State. Sorry, guys. Good luck to you out there. All right, next up, Oklahoma, who has lost now to Ohio State and to, at the beginning of the year, to Houston, no longer ranked, and they're going on the road to TCU. TCU is after TCU lost to Arkansas, and since then they've kind of bounced back. I don't think I think people are still kind of wondering what they're going to get out of this team. And Oklahoma, again, is one of those where they lost to a lot of really good teams. We're not really sure what to expect out of them. Are they going to be the Ole Miss of the Big 12? Who's to say? So, Nigel, I'll start with you. Oklahoma at TCU.
This was a really close game last year, and I think it's going to be the same this year. I'm going to go with Oklahoma, though.
All right. Andrew.
I think the Horned Frogs win it. I think they're a lot better on defense than Oklahoma is, and they're just as explosive on offense.
It's interesting. I think I'm going to take the Horned Frogs. Out of what I've seen from them, I believe their talents are better than Oklahoma's, which is weird to say. Coming into this year, we thought Oklahoma was probably one of the most talented teams out there, but as the season goes on, time reveals all, you know? So I'm going to take TCU. Nigel, you're on your own.
Okay, if I must.
Last game, and this one is close to, I think, a lot of our hearts, and since it's in the ACC, it's a big deciding matchup possibly for the Coastal. You got UNC at FSU. UNC struggled but pulled it out against a tough Pitt team last week. This is probably going to be their biggest challenge of the year. I'm having a hard time thinking of who else is on their schedule that's going to give them a game like this on the road. FSU, meanwhile, after that beating that they got from Louisville, they've kind of just disappeared from the limelight like they usually would be. They're looking to bounce back. They're looking to prove themselves and get back on track in the ACC. So, Andrew, I know it's very important to Elizabeth. Who you got?
I think Florida State wins it.
All right, I won't ask you to repeat that. So fair enough. Nigel, who do you have?
I'm going to go with Florida State. I think they rebound in this game. Just the amount of athletes they have will make the difference.
Yeah, I can't not go with Florida State. Sorry, Elizabeth. Yes, Gavin Cook is in fact a grown-ass man, Andrew. No, he's just texting us stuff because he can't say it out loud. I can't. All right, we're gonna on to move on to games that we can actually talk about out loud. We're gonna move on the big matchup of the week: Louisville at Clemson. So Louisville, would you call them, Andrew? Would you call them the surprise team of the season?
I think they're the surprise team in the ACC, definitely. You know, we thought the Atlantic was going to be a two-team division, and Louisville's really stepped in and said, you know, we're going to be another team that's going to do that. I think them blowing out Florida State really surprised a lot of people. You know, I'd put them up there with Wisconsin as really surprise teams this year, you know. And in terms of that game, man, it's in Death Valley. The line actually recently moved. Clemson was a two-point favorite. It's bumped to LSU or Louisville being a two-point favorite. You know, I think it's really going to come down to which defense can slow down the other team's offense better. I think Clemson's defense really hasn't missed a beat from last year, even though they lost a lot of guys. I think Brent Venables is a severely underrated defensive coordinator and is a name that should be in a lot of AD's Rolodexes to hire when they're looking for head coaches. You know, Louisville, outside of Florida State, they really haven't played anyone. You know, they blew out three teams that aren't really great. And then obviously they blew out Florida State, which I think really surprised a lot of people. You know, I don't know which way to go. You know, it's tough to beat Clemson in Death Valley. I'm not sure if Louisville's played a game in a situation like that. But it's also tough to bet against Lamar Jackson. I mean, he's doing things that we really haven't ever seen. I think Louisville finds a way to win it. I think that Clemson, as much as they can try to shut him down, I think Lamar Jackson makes enough plays that Louisville wins the game. And then takes the driver's seat for the Atlantic, and people start losing their absolute crap that, oh my God, Louisville might be a playoff team, and everyone hates Bobby Petrino.
Well, unless you're in the SEC, in which case you're just going to look at it and be like, really? Clemson lost to Louisville? But Louisville's not even that good. I mean, what the hell? That was the general reaction I got from my family when they beat Florida State. It was like, how the hell did Florida State lose to Louisville? Well, they got...
Can you remind them that Alabama at one time lost to Louisiana Monroe?
I'll keep that in mind next time I talk to them. But and Nigel, so Nigel, these are two Heisman-led teams. You know, you got, like we were talking about, Lamar Jackson, and then Clemson's got, damn it,
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson. I was saying Dabo Sweeney, which is the coach, but that is not the quarterback. I bet he wishes he could be a quarterback like that. So you've got a great lot of talent there. But then you kind of got to wonder about the supporting cast around those guys. Clemson hasn't looked great. And as Andrew pointed out, Louisville really hasn't played much other than FSU. So, Nigel, who do you have in this matchup?
The only two words that Andrew said that really matter are Lamar Jackson. And that's Mr. Jackson if you're nasty. I'm telling you right now, this kid, we thought he was going to be slowed down against Florida State. He's just continued to put up crazy numbers. Obviously, he is one of the September Heisman. He's, if you watch college football, which obviously Logan's family watches very select college football games, you've heard this guy's name. He is, I mean, he's making other people who we know who are also athletic look slow and confused. And anytime you have to think about what this guy is doing on the field, that's going to make you a half a tick slower, and that's going to add to his already threatening ability. I want to see him throw it still a little bit better. I still want to see him make a few more decisions with the football that are a little bit better. He can turn the ball over, and I don't think he's played a defense that's so good that's taken complete advantage of that. I can't remember who they played this past week. Marshall decided to make him beat them with the arm a little bit more, and he was able to do that. I think Louisville's defense is close to where Clemson is, and I think with that all, taking all of that into account, I think Louisville gets this win.
So to play off that, I was actually going to bring this up. So Clemson currently is ranked number 5 in the nation in total defense, and Louisville is ranked 27th. They're actually tied for 27th, but they're, let's just say they're ranked up there. I did kind of want to see that stat before Clemson played against us, because they just made us look bad. Georgia Tech, that is, because that probably bumped their stats a bit. That said, yeah, Louisville's defense is not that bad. It is better than ours, and ours certainly gave Deshaun Watson a lot of trouble. The team couldn't really run the ball, and so I think if Louisville is able to shut down the run and make it so Deshaun Watson has to pass the ball, I don't think it's going to shut him down completely, certainly. But I do think that'll be an impactful point of the game, and it could very well lead to struggles. And at that point, you're just putting the ball in the hands of Lamar Jackson, and we haven't seen anything yet this season that says that he can't do it, that he can't just put up points like he's playing a basketball game. Yeah. All that said, it is at home. It is hard for Clemson to lose at home, but I am going to go with Louisville. I've picked against them before, but I just can't bring myself to do it. This is another one of those cases where, like Tennessee, until Louisville gets shut down, I just can't see them losing. Until they absolutely get stopped, I just can't picture it in my mind. So I'm going to go with them. All right. And Tommy's not here, so he can't spring any weird games on us anymore. So, yeah. Anybody else got anything to say before we tune out, guys?
Nope.
I can't believe you guys hang out with Mike Holmgren and you never told me.
I know. Sorry, bro.
I don't know. That's what you can do when you don't have a girlfriend to hang out with on the weekends. Hey, my gosh.
Our boyfriend, this is America. This is 2016.
I mean, you can have a waifu or Lord knows what else people consider the things to date. You can date a tree if you want. You know what? If it makes you happy, go for it.
That's my America.
That's my America.
I don't want to live in America where a tree can't marry a bulldozer.
I'm going to marry a gas tank after last week. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a thing.
It'll be really
so gonna piss somebody off of that comment.
It's gonna be really nice until I try to take her to the sack, and then it's just gonna be like,
whew. Dude, I don't know if you want to bring her to a cookout if we got a grill and charcoal.
All right. Anyway, thank you as always for listening out there. If you want more posts, check us out at toemeetsleather.net. And as always, we wish you the best of luck. By the way, I want to send a special, our hopes and prayers go out to my boss, Doug Gackstetter, who had we're not 100% sure on the diagnosis, but we're pretty sure it was a stroke today. So we wish you the best of luck, and I hope you get better soon, man. Because you're a really good boss, and Lord knows what's going to happen if leadership gets handed over to Brian or Clarence. Anyway, all right.
Fucking Clarence.
Whoa, they just sent you to a thing about racism. You're not allowed to say shit like that.
Whoa. Nowhere in my comment was race even involved. I picture an English guy with a monocle, so I don't really know what you're thinking.
I'm gonna die, by the way.
You're gonna die?
Oh my god, what was that? Like, that was...
All right, we're gonna tune it out. We're gonna close it out before the monster in the closet eats Nigel.
Hey, we're not gonna die here today. We might die here tomorrow.
Yeah. Did you see Wells Fargo CEO had to give up $41 million in bonuses?
Oh yeah, because of all that like signing up people for shit they didn't agree to.
Yeah. Well, it also affected his bonus rates. Like all his bonus, like. Highly buffed up by that, so he had to give back like $41 million in like stocks, options, and bonuses.
Good. If stuff happens under your watch,
hey, the buck stops with you, bro.
Yeah.
So this is very interesting, but you do realize we're still recording, right?
Oh my god.
Good night, everybody.